You're listening to KHNS, Haynes, Skagway, and Clackawan. KHNS News and the Chilkat Valley News hosted the 2011 Haynes Candidate Forum Monday, September 26th at the Chilkat Center for the Arts in front of a live audience. All candidates for Haynes Mayor and Haynes Assembly participated in the Q&A format event. Each candidate was limited in time on their answers. Here's a recording from that evening. You can also find it online at khns.org under local news.
Introducing the candidates for Haynes Mayor, we have incumbent Mayor Jan Hill and Stephanie Scott here tonight. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we'll get started by letting each of you give a one-minute introductory remarks. We'll kind of go back and forth between you to give each a chance to answer first. Stephanie, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and give us one-minute introductory remarks, and then to Jan?
Sure. I'm a 38-year resident. My father was a naval pilot, and my mother was a Quaker pacifist. That might explain something. I was inaugurated into state and local politics as the third-class borough administrator and found myself defending the third-class borough in front of state legislative committees. I was a member and then chair of the Mud Bay Land Use Service Area, another controversial organization. It was a duty that required delicacy and diplomacy, which also put me on the Charter Commission. I ran for a seat on the first assembly of the newly consolidated government and was elected and subsequently reelected. I memorably, at least to myself, was the sole vote against the FY07 budget because it had a 6.23 mill rate for the budget for the borough-wide mill rate that wasn't fully expensed in the budget, and I wanted the assembly to lower the mill rate to reflect the expenditures. My motion failed. I was a high school teacher here, and I... does that mean I need to stop?
You can just wrap it up.
Okay.
Not immediately.
Oh, I have
you
a lot more to tell you, but no, all right, later. I was a high school special education teacher for 12 years. I won state and national and federal awards for my research in education. I was the Christy McAuliffe Fellow for the state of Alaska in the year 2000, and I hope to be your next mayor.
Go ahead, Jan, and feel free to introduce yourself before you speak and answer the questions, since we are recording this for later airing on KHNS so people know your voice.
Thank you. My name is Jan Hill. I'm a lifelong resident of Haynes. 61 years. I wasn't going to do that, but more than 38, so I will. I did go away to college for a few years. I hold the distinction of being the last third-class borough mayor in the state of Alaska. About 12 years ago, I was the borough mayor. It was a very different position back then as a part of the third-class borough. Have served as the chair of the SERC, Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium Board of Directors. Recently was the president this past year of Southeast Conference, and now holding the office of past president, which is still a very active role. I got involved in local politics because of the Mud Bay Land Use Service Area Board, so Stephanie is absolutely right, it was controversial. There were some changes and things going on that made me feel like I needed to be involved instead of standing at the back of the room doing public comment. So that's kind of how I got here. As a result of my college, I worked with Vivian Menneker to bring Head Start to Haynes in 1975, which is one of the things I'm most proud of because it is still an active, vital educational program that's working today, and they've done a lot of great things since I was there. And I see that time is up.
Jan, is there anything the borough is doing now that it shouldn't be doing, and anything the borough isn't doing that it should be doing?
That question in 30 seconds is not fair. I think that in many instances we are over-regulating things in the borough, and we need to take a close look at that and see if we can make adjustments to that. And some of the things that we're not doing is, I think, paying close enough attention to new companies, businesses that want to come to town, but can't because of some of the expenses that it takes to be a business in Haines.
And same question, Stephanie?
Well, I don't think that we should be collecting so many taxes. And I think that we should be being more analytical about our expenditures so that we know exactly the benefit that is coming from our, especially from the expenditure of our local revenue. So those are two things that I think that we aren't doing that we need to be doing.
Okay, on the next question, we'll start with Stephanie on this one. And you may get a chance to finish up your introductory remarks with this question, but I was wondering specifically what qualifications you would bring to the position. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I am formally educated both as a statistician and as a researcher, so I think that that is one skill that I will bring to the office. And I hate to say it, but I am quite comfortable reading long, dry government reports. And the other thing that I think that I do well is lay out the pros and cons of various programs so to maximize the possibility that people will be able to come to their own decisions.
And Jan, same question. What specific qualifications make you the right candidate for the position?
I think I bring a great deal of experience to the table. I have a great working relationship with elected officials throughout the region, the state, even our delegation in Washington, D.C. And I care as much as anybody about the future of Haines. I have watched many changes in my lifetime here, some I like, some I don't like, and I would like to be a part of the future of the Haines-Borough.
Question for Jan. Should Joanne Waterman and Damon Hoffman be recalled from the assembly? And if your answer is yes, what should be done with Jerry Lapp, who joined the vote for which the recall was made?
I believe that this is an unfair question. I will always support the citizens' right to petition the elected body and put things on the ballot. I think that's part of why we live in the United States of America. My personal opinion on any specific issue is simply that, my personal opinion, and I will exercise my right to vote when I go into the polling booth.
Excuse me. Jan, you're the highest elected leader we have. This is a question of a pretty big import. You don't have an opinion on it?
I do have an opinion, and it's my personal opinion. You're asking me how I'm going to vote on an item, and that is a private decision.
Okay. Stephanie?
Well, even though I may agree with Jan, I've already shown my hand, if anybody's read my blog. I do not believe that the recall is justified for many reasons. It was, if you read the judge's order, he actually cites borough code that treats a part of our code that has to do when an election is overturned. And when an election is thrown out, the remedy is to hold an election, which is exactly what happened. I do need to finish. The problem is that it should have been dealt with immediately. The judge's order was out May 12th. And we could have had an election within a 45-day period. So we could have sat a person by May, by July, and that would have been what should have done. I do think it was a failure. Lots of people failed in this respect, and I think it's unfortunate that Joanne and Damon are taking the rap.
All right, and next question, we'll start with Stephanie on this. How do you imagine Haines meeting the borough's energy needs in the future?
Well, even though it's not very sexy to say this, the first fuel is conservation. And the very first thing that we need to do is to help everybody practice good conservation and energy efficiency. The second thing we need to do is to take advantage of the many programs that are available. I just sent information to the manager and to the superintendent about a state loan program for retrofitting buildings. The save, and you pay back your loan with the savings, the guaranteed savings from your retrofit. And so there are lots of things like that. Those are little things. Other energy problems have to do with identifying additional sources of energy, and that's a long-term project that we need to work on immediately.
Great. And Jan, same question.
I think that we certainly need to explore all of the options and opportunities that are out there. Hydropower goes to the top of the list. We live in Southeast Alaska. We have a lot of water. We have a lot of rainfall. And I know that through a lot of our energy work through Southeast Conference, hydropower is the main focus, as well as in addition to some of the other options in some communities. But for us, I think hydro is the answer, and we have been looking at Connolly Lake and Sheeby Lake for a while, and I think we need to quit studying it pretty soon and get to work building a hydro for Haines.
Jen, recently the assembly has become somewhat divided into voting blocks that don't seem to move. Does the mayor have a role in helping the assembly come to agreement on issues? And, does the mayor have a role, and how do you do that?
I think the mayor does have a role. How to do that would depend on the issue and what has caused it not to move forward. Right now it's been very difficult having a five-member assembly where there is never a tie so that I could exercise my right to put my authority to break a tie with a vote. But I think that many times, especially if it's at an assembly meeting, deliberation is the best way to resolve these things. And we can extend deliberations as long as they're making some progress.
Stephanie?
Yes, the mayor has a big responsibility in this regard. The mayor is allowed to participate in all assembly discussions, so the mayor can enter into the debate at any time, although I think that members of the assembly should be the prime debaters in the issue. I would work to build a team of the assembly. I've already looked into bringing a trainer to Haines to help the assembly learn to work more together more effectively as a team, and I think that will help. I learned to do that from Mayor Case, who did provide an opportunity for us as an assembly to work together more effectively.
All right, we'll start with you, Stephanie, on the next question. How should the Haines mayor work to effectively gauge public opinion and also promote public discourse?
Well, I have some very specific ideas on that. I will continue my blog if I am elected mayor, and so that will be an avenue of communication. I'd like to have a radio show that would describe what's coming up on the agenda before every assembly meeting so that the public can be well informed. I'd like to have more meetings in committee level where the assembly, you know, specifically invites experts in the community to come and talk to them about various issues. This is some ideas.
Jan's in question, how should the Haines mayor work to effectively gauge public opinion and also promote public discourse?
I think that just to add to some of Stephanie's comments, I had planned and have already talked about having a special spot in the newspapers so that we can put current events there, current happenings, current issues of the assembly. More than willing to do radio shows also, and have done that many times. And I think that encouraging people to come into the office, I pledged to spend time in the borough office regularly. I've been doing that, and I will continue to do that where you have easy access to me.
Jan, one of the prime roles of the mayor is to chair meetings. Do you believe the assembly meetings have been conducted in a civil manner that is fair to all who want to participate? And is there anything you would change at this point on how public meetings are run?
I think that the meetings have been run fair. We follow Robert's Rules of Order very closely. It's in our code that we will do that. I know that some people were concerned that we were holding people to time limits. That is one way that Robert's Rules helps us run effective meetings and allows for the minority to be heard. So at this point, I do not think I would change anything about the way the meetings are run.
And Stephanie?
I would change the way meetings are run. I would take control of the time myself, and rather than have it to be the clerk's duty, so that I can interact with the person who is giving the testimony and ask them to wrap it up at the explicit time. I don't believe Robert's Rules of Order specifies a 3-minute time limit. That's a procedure that the Assembly has adopted. So I would ask the Assembly from time to time what kind of time limits they'd like to put on a speaker. 30 seconds maybe.
And Stephanie, what do you feel is the most immediate issue that Haines is facing that you would prioritize as mayor?
There are many. One is the power issue. And unlike Jan, I do believe it needs to continue to be studied. I don't think we know enough either about Conley Lake or Shuby Lake or the pros and cons of an undersea cable or submarine cable. And I would immediately bring APT to the table and other concerned citizens and have a series of informational meetings to examine in the public both of those opportunities for additional sources of power.
Great. And Jan, what do you feel is the most immediate issue Haines is facing right now that you would prioritize if in the next term?
Well, I think energy is right at the top of that list, but it is joined with economic development and jobs. We do not have good paying jobs here so that people can stay here. Our kids graduate from high school, they go get an education and experience, and they don't come back here. They may come back to Alaska, or they may stay where they went to school because they've been gotten comfortable there. So we need to look at a way to diversify our economy so that we have good paying jobs so that people can stay here. And personally, many of my family members have had to move because there are no jobs, and I'd like to see people be able to come home.
Jan, there's been some criticism recently that was expressed in the letters column, I guess, that the borough's not moving fast enough. Some of these issues, like what to do with the school, have been lingered for years. Do you think that's a fair assessment, that things aren't moving at City Hall, or do things just take longer than most people think? Or do you have any ideas how to move things along faster at City Hall?
I think it's actually a combination of all of that. I think that, we've all heard the saying, government, the wheels of government move slowly, and they do. But many times what has happened is we've had something on the table, moved it forward, and then all of a sudden people come out of the public up in arms about something, even though they've had opportunities sometimes, in some cases, for years. And things like the demolition of the old school is another one. We've had that on the books for a couple years with plans and asking the community to come forward with good ideas, and once again, we didn't get much response, and now we've got it on the books to be demolished, and we're getting a lot of feedback.
And Stephanie?
Say the question again.
The question is, there's a public criticism basically of City Hall that things aren't getting done. And do you think that's fair, a fair criticism? And if you do, how would you speed things up down there?
Well, yes, absolutely. In some very specific cases, it is a fair criticism. When people bring in complaints that are clear violations of the borough code, and they have to go back and go back and go back to find a resolution of those complaints, I think that's unacceptable. And I think that is the Assembly's responsibility to hold the management accountable for response to the public. So I do think the Assembly needs to pay more attention to giving guidance to their chief administrator.
Thank you. And we'd like to give the public a chance to ask any questions you have for either one or both candidates.
Hi, my name is Paul Nelson. My question is, if you are reelected or elected, would you remove Mark Ernst as the borough manager?
Go ahead, sir.
I couldn't personally remove Mark Ernst. It would be an assembly action. He works for the borough assembly. So, but I do think that the performance of the highest paid borough employee that we have or any of our borough officers needs to be examined thoroughly and repeatedly, and their accountability needs to be established.
Jan, go ahead.
I agree with Stephanie. This is not something that the mayor does. I would work in conjunction with the assembly, and we would assess his performance through the evaluation process, which we do, and at that time the assembly would make that decision.
Any other questions from the public? Okay. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Dave Button, Eco Orca Tours. It's Dave. Jan and Stephanie, what do you view as the most important attribute to Haines, and which resource has the most potential?
We'll start with Jan. Wait, where do we go? Jan, we'll start with this one. Go for it.
I haven't been keeping track. I think that the people of the community are our most important attribute and resource. I think we have a great deal of talent, education, and willingness to make this a better place to live. And without the people that live here, the diversity of the people who live here, Haines would be a pretty boring place to live.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie?
Well, that's a great answer. And I was actually, Jan, that's a great answer and a good question. And I was actually having this very conversation before I came here, about how the people of Haines work so hard. And I think that we have a huge number of entrepreneurs, and I have to agree that that's what keeps me here. Second is the natural beauty that surrounds us.
All right, thank you. If that's it for questions from the public, yeah. We'll give the candidates a minute to give us closing remarks, whatever it is you feel you want to communicate to the group here, and those who will later listen on radio and here on TV. We'll start with Jan.
Well, I just would like to ask for the voters' support. I'd like to continue being your mayor. We have spent a lot of years without a manager for more than just a few months. It's been nice to have a manager for over a year, about a year and a half now. Things are getting done. Look uptown, you can see some improvements. We've got a lot of road work getting done. We've had some water and sewer issues resolved. And things are happening. We've got projects. The PC Dock project is one thing that got completed here recently. We have a lot of things coming down the road, exciting things. Working with economic development, our meetings in the Yukon this past week have just re-energized me. I would like an opportunity to see some of these new projects get started, and some of them will get completed within this next term. So I just would like the opportunity to continue to serve. And in closing, I just want to say that I think that as I stated in my last campaign, we need to draw on the things that we have in common instead of letting our differences tear us apart. We can accomplish so much more by working together as a community than we can by letting our differences keep us divided. Thank you.
Stephanie, go ahead.
I'm an excellent communicator, and I'll always let you know where I stand and why I stand there, even if it's just to let you know that I don't know. And we certainly will differ. We might differ over the next 3 years, we might differ next week. But I do believe that it's possible for us to all beat with one heart and to do the best on behalf of Haines. As an assembly member, I never missed a meeting, although I did attend one from a campfire in the mountains outside of Fresno. Like the postman, neither wind nor rain or sleet nor hail will keep me from an obligation. However, if the drifts are dangerously deep, especially out mud day, we may have to cancel a meeting. But I do hope that you will give me a chance to be your mayor, and don't forget to vote.
Thank you, guys. And we'll take a moment to switch out the candidates. Thank you so much for being here and being part of this. It's great to hear from both of you. Thank you. If everyone's refreshed and seated, we'll move into questions for candidates for assembly. Tonight we have candidates for the three seats that are open on the assembly. And for seat E, we have Jerry Ernie and Deborah Schnabel here on the left. The seats are paired together, so visually you can see who's who. And then for a CE, we have Karen Hess and Norm Smith. And then for seat F, we have John Brower and Jerry Lapp. We'll go ahead and start giving you guys a minute to introduce yourselves, and we'll start with Jerry here.
So my name is Jerry Ernie. For 30 years, my employment as a police officer enabled me to help people solve their problems. I didn't escalate or complicate the problems, I solved them. I worked 40 to 60 hours a week, was dedicated and socially minded in the way I did my job. I retired honorably from this capacity in 2004. I bring the same dedication and commitment to the community of Haines. I've been very active in our community. The experience in Haines needs to change. By narrowing the scope of our government, we can simplify the political landscape and have fewer conflicts, therefore increasing efficiency. This election is not about one candidate versus the other. It is about which direction you want your government to go. By presenting our views to you honestly, it gives you the opportunity to evaluate what you do and don't like and make an educated choice. I think I have something to offer that is needed in our community and present to you an honest indication of the way I feel about our issues. I am clearly a financial conservative who would like to see the free enterprise nurture itself without interference from the borough. If you would like to see our leadership take an active approach to long-term sustainability for our community, please consider voting for Jerry Ernie. Thank you.
And we'll move on to Deborah Schnabel. And before you guys speak, if you'd say your name for those who will be listening to the radio broadcast later.
Thank you. I'm Deborah Schnabel. I'm running for office because I want the responsibility for making decisions that increase the efficiency and the effectiveness of our government. There is no good reason why policy decisions for our community can't be executed timely, with due diligence and respect for differing opinions, why capital projects can't be undertaken in a logical time frame, and why your government can't respond to day-to-day problems in a straightforward way. Many of our issues remain on the table for years due to inattention, lack of skill, or inefficient allocation of resources, giving people time or money. I'm a worker. I have worked as an assembly member and as a contract employee in the borough administration. I know that our government can be more efficient in making decisions, executing plans, collecting and spending revenues, and in reporting. My campaign has revealed to me that the issues and the problems that this community wants to address are clear to everyone. There's lack of economy, there's quality of life issues, there's decaying infrastructure, and there are funding issues. The answers are out there. The assembly is a team. I can work on a team. And I ask you for the opportunity to show you that I can make the difference that we need. Vote for me, and let's get her done.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, my name is Karen Hess, and I've lived in Haines for 26 years. I'm a business person. Been in business with my husband for 20. We just finished our 21st season, and so I can assure you I will bring my business sense to the table. I'm running for borough assembly because I care about Haines and I want to see the Haines business community grow and prosper. As a borough assembly member, I will bring my business experience to the table. When budgets are due, I will ensure that the borough spends your money wisely and makes budget cuts before raising taxes. I will govern with common sense, listen and weigh all the facts before I make decisions. I will research all subjects so I can make sound decisions for the good of the community. I will maintain an open door policy and would invite anyone, whether we agree or not, to please call me or stop by my office to share your views. Sometimes we can agree to disagree, but in the end we must make decisions that are best for the majority of Haines residents, not for a personal agenda of a few.
I'm Norm Smith, and I've been a resident of Haines for, about 50 years. I came here in the early 60s. I'm a graduate of Haines High School. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran and a member of Chilkoot Indian Association and Sea Alaska Corporation. I went to college in Oregon on the VA, and I currently have over 10 years' experience as an elected official. I've been a city councilman, previous government of Haines for over 4 years, and I've been an assembly person for 6 years. I've been a construction worker, a commercial fisherman, a truck driver, a bus driver, a bartender, public radio producer, a TV repairman, a tour company manager, and I'm proud to be a 30-year owner of a local bed and breakfast with my wife, Suzanne, and I have a daughter in high school here, and I also have a daughter and her husband who are attending Harvard. Based on my experience, I think I have a great perspective regarding the heart and assets of this community, and if elected, I will strive to keep the borough government open, honest, and accountable to this valley, and we're blessed to live in.
My name is John Brower, and I'm running for the Assembly seat F, and it's all about the community, folks. And one of the great things about this community is you got to find out what's in the best interest of the common good. It's all about sustainable community development. Everybody's talking about economic development. Well, it's community development is really what it's about. You get people involved. The community's got to get involved, and they become stakeholders in the process of long-term welfare, of establishing the long-term welfare of the community. How do you come up with strategic development and community involvement? Well, you first have the comprehensive plan, but then you start digging into the strategic and create a strategic action development plan. And it becomes your roadmap. The community has become stakeholders. To follow that roadmap, and planning is at the heart of it all. You're planning the future sustainability of the community. You build upon the assets. What's the best asset we got in this community? Well, the people. But what really is there? What draws people? The natural environment. All development must be environmentally responsible, socially, and culturally sensitive. And at the heart of all this is education and wellness.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. My name is Jerry Lapp. I've been a resident of Haines Borough for 34 years. My wife and I have had a successful business out of 33 miles. And we recently sold that business, so now we're starting another adventure. We're closer to town. So I've been on the assembly and in the mayor's position for 16 years. I believe that I myself am a good listener. I listen to people. I listen to their concerns. And I act on those concerns. And I think I've done a lot for this community. This community has given us a lot. And the reason that I enjoy being at the local government level is because I want to give back to the community. And I do what's best for this community. And I don't have any agenda. So I'd just like you to reconsider me for another term as assembly member.
Great. We'll start with Deborah on the next question.
Thank you. Candidate Deborah Schnabel. As a member of the assembly, or potential member of the assembly, what role do you believe compromise should play in getting borough business done?
The role of compromise asks you sometimes to prioritize the battles that are to be fought. I guess to that extent, you can measure for yourself how much you're measure out the importance of a particular issue that you are dealing with. So, and whether to give in, I suppose, and how to give in. I don't think there should be collapse. There's working with people.
Karen Hess, same thing. what role compromise plays in getting borough business done?
Well, I think compromise plays a role in life in general. Life's full of compromises. I've had many in my lifetime, and I'm sure you all have too. I think it's important to be able to compromise, but the only way that you can compromise is if everybody at the table is willing to compromise. You cannot compromise with someone who is unwilling to compromise or give a little. So compromise is important, and I think that plays a big role, but everybody needs to be able to do that.
Mark?
What role does compromise
play in getting borough business done? Yeah.
Well, it's an ongoing thing. Compromise occurs only when two people or two entities agree to disagree. Everybody wants their way, but we can't always have our way. It depends a lot who's in charge and whether or not the code is being followed. If the code's not being followed, then there is no compromise.
Okay. Great. John Brown, same question?
Yes. If elected leadership cannot practice the art of compromise, it cannot legislate. It's as simple as that. And we saw that as an example on June 13th when the Assembly met and could not make a decision and would not come to a compromise on what to do with the vacated seat that caused a recall petition.
Thank you, Chair Lapp. Same question?
Yeah. Compromise plays in, I think, it's when you listen. And you listen to both sides. And then you act in the best interest of what both sides have to say. Sometimes issues are clouded, or sometimes there's gray areas, and it's hard to make decisions. But I believe that compromise would just come from listening to both sides and look at where the good points are and where the bad points are. And you try to be a halfway line.
Thanks. And
Jerry Ernie, there's variables to solving complicated problems. The only way you can approach those is if you're willing to be flexible and listen openly and put your arm up and say, you know, I could be wrong, and you listen to an opposing view, and you discuss things in a way that's constructively critical or just constructive.
Great, thank you. And we'll start with Karen on the next question. I think everyone can agree that we're interested in a stronger local economy, but as a member of the Assembly, how can a member of the Assembly work to actually make something happen there?
Well, I believe that the Assembly could do several things, but just a few in my 30 seconds. I think we need to develop the LUTAC dock. It's a deep water port. We need to utilize our deep water port. It would assist our fishermen, so we need to work closely with our fishing fleet, our fishermen. They bring a lot of money into this community. So bring more fishermen in, bring more economy, work with our close neighbors in the Yukon with their resources to develop our deep water port. And that's just a couple of things that I've been 30 seconds.
Great, thanks, and Norm Smith.
Can you repeat the question again?
Sure. What do you think the Borough Assembly can do to help strengthen the local economy?
Strengthen the local economy? Boy, that's a wild question there. It depends on who's in charge. We have a very diversified economy right now. And as I said at the Chamber Forum the other day, this used to be a two sawmill town and they didn't care about tourists. And that was in the 70s. And we used to have a power plant out there by the ferry terminal that was run by a sawmill and they promised us cheap power. That didn't materialize. So it's an ongoing thing. The economy is changing every day.
Okay. John Brown.
What the borough can do, the government, is work with the people, work with the businesses, the private industry, and facilitate discussion of the many economic opportunities that actually exist out there within the framework of your planning process, developing your strategic action plan, and getting the community involved as stakeholders in the process.
Yeah, I believe Karen hit on some good points there. One is the LUTAC dock. We need to shipping more goods in and out of Haines, and improving it would be something that we are working on to improve it. And another thing is our boat harbor, and I think we need to do all for our fishermen that we can do, because they are a big part of our economy. And another thing is making Haines look better. I mean, just revitalization of downtown. I mean, these are some of the issues. They're ongoing, and I think we just need to do more.
Thanks. And Jerry Ernie, what do you think the Assembly's role is in strengthening the economy?
I think the Assembly's role would be to streamline application processes, permitting processes, get government out of the way. The Chamber of Commerce should have an active role in marketing businesses and marketing Haines. And the Assembly needs to display an open and friendly atmosphere that encourages business owners to want to come to Haines and do business.
Thanks. Deborah Schnabel?
I mean, your original question was about what the members do, so I kind of focused on what
okay.
I could do
as a member.
Be ever watchful and mindful of opportunities that are available to us, whether that be to be keep an inventory of our own resources always on the top of our mind, but also to be aware of what's happening in trends in regional and national and international markets and what might be a good match for us. I also think that locally, and I got this from Doug Olu, education about the interdependence that we have, and I don't mean preachy education, but I mean just an appreciation for the interdependence that all of us as individuals have on each other in the community.
Thanks.
Next question, we'll start with Norm Smith. Norm, what changes, if any, should be made to the 1% borough sales tax for tourism promotion and economic development? The question has been before the Assembly this past summer.
Well, that the part about 1% sales tax for tourism development, economic development, there's always been this gray area between those two topics. And I think the two ought to be separated myself. They are related, but they're very much separated, especially in the minds of the people in the community. So that would be the first step I would like to see. What is economic development?
John Brown?
Okay. I don't think it makes much of a difference personally whether you have the 1% sales tax designated for a certain purpose or not. I think you got to establish the budget and acknowledge that you need to create a position for economic development or community development, however you want to call it. Establish the budget, create the position, create some kind of staffing level, and that position would be there to help facilitate that discussion to allow for stakeholder interest in the community and whatever development takes place.
Okay, thank you, John. And Jerry Lapp.
Yeah, 1%, I think it should stay as it is. I would hate to see it change and go into the general fund, because at that point it could get lost. And I just think that maybe there needs to be a little more accountability on how that money is being spent. Maybe, I guess, a little more tracking on it. But I also think that we do need to establish what is economic development, what are we going to spend this money on, because now I know that it gets spent on a lot of things that are called economic development or parts of it. So that needs to be defined in a better sense.
Thank you, Jerry. And Jerry Ernie?
It's a really hard thing to measure when you're trying to market tourism. So, you know, I don't think we ever get to know positively what the bang for our buck is. I think the 1% tax needs to be left alone. To roll it into the general fund, I agree with Jerry. I think it could get lost in the shuffle. The borough has done a pretty poor job of managing some of our money as it is now, and I just think at least that is something that's very direct and it needs to stay that way.
Thank you, Jerry. Deborah Schnell.
I support dedicated tax, starting with that. Again, I think that the definition of economic development needs to be clear before we embark on a budget for economic development. In direct response to your question, I would like to see the 1% sales tax have more dedication towards economic development. Certainly our tourism department is part of our economic development, but so far the we have treated it as a primary goal, or a primary expenditure area. I'd like to see more in economic development.
Thank you. Karen Hensley.
I do not think that the 1% dedicated sales tax should go away. I think it should stay for tourism. And we voted here a few years back to take that and also make it economic development. But we seem to be tapping into that more and more for what we, for different versions of economic development. It's like somebody has an idea and they go, oh, let's get some of the 1% sales tax, tourism tax, and use it for that study. So I think it should stay for tourism.
Thank you.
And we'll go ahead and start with John Brower on the next question. What, if anything, should the Assembly do to increase recreational opportunities or provide a community center for Haines residents?
Well, you've heard this before from me in the sense that anything the borough can do to help facilitate wellness activities in this town, I encourage it strongly, because that's at the heart of being a healthy, thriving community. You got to be well. And so as far as community center, I think it should be built. I think we need to dig into that strategic action plan and figure out what we want, what kind of facility we actually want there. You know, I can see a conference center, like a three-phase building where you have a recreation center, or I would call it a wellness center plus a community center and something else I had in mind. I'm out of time.
Jerry Lapp?
Yeah, I believe that we need to create all the recreation that we can for our youth in these days. And recreational facility, that would be great, but I think that would be up to the voters. I think they should be put in front of the voters. And if they want to support that, then that should be their choice. But I'm a great advocate of recreational facilities for activities for all the youth. Keeps them busy and keeps them out of trouble.
Thanks. And Jerry Ernie.
I'm completely against funding a new building or maintaining an old building to facilitate the plan. It's very likely the Haynesboro would end up paying the bill to maintain the facility. Our comprehensive plan clearly outlines 13 recreational activities that are available within our borough and probably have increased since the implementation in 2004. If we could successfully cut our borough budget, I would support hiring a part-time parks and recreation facilitator from skiing to sewing or artwork, whatever they want to do in existing structures, I would be fine with that.
I think even the discussion that we have here illustrates how difficult it is for us to talk about something we haven't quite defined yet. We are going all over the map with what's a recreation, a community, a convention center. So that discussion still has to take place. I really am intrigued by Tanya Carlson's movement to identify Haines as the adventure capital of Alaska. And I think that recreational opportunities in Haines should be developed along those lines. A very strong supporter of trails since I got a dog. It's changed my life. I go on trails all the time. I support trails.
Thanks. And Karen Hess?
I'm not in favor of the Haynesboro having another government facility to have to take care of and maintain. I would not be opposed to a recreational facility if the community of Haynes wanted to pay for it. But oftentimes you find in many places, Skagway's a good example, Royal Caribbean built the recreational center for Skagway, and it's utilized quite a bit, and then it falls off. So they don't maintain themselves.
And Nora Smith, and once again, that question was, what, if anything, should the Assembly do to increase recreational opportunities or provide a community center for Haines residents?
Well, we don't have to worry about Royal Caribbean coming to town and helping this building. Why not do that? We're sitting in a facility right now that was a dream facility from back in the 80s, and we got grants from the state when we were flush with oil money. When this borough wants to do something, we do it. And we built the library's been built over there is a classic example and a great one. The recent construction of the school, the combination of the three schools, or the combining of the three, is a great example. We need to tear down that human resources building over there and move the Head Start out of there someplace. I could go on with this one, but I don't have time.
All righty. Governor Parnell has indicated that he's going to push again for the road to Katsahin. Every couple of years, the Haines Borough Assembly has asked for its opinion on the extended road there. So a question to start with Jerry Lapp. Do you support or oppose extending the Juneau Road to Katsahin? And what effect do you think such a road would have on the Haines retail sector?
Well, I guess I've never really supported an east side road. I've always thought if they were going to build one, they should put it on the west side. But open up more country for recreation activity. And on the second part of your question there, I don't really think it would hurt, if there was a road, that it would hurt the retailer. Because now you have a ferry every day, and that just, I mean, that's just like getting on a road and driving it every day. So I really don't see a difference. I think it actually might help in some ways, but there could be some ways where it could be a con for the business. But I think it'd help more than.
Great. Thank you. Chair, your name, please.
I don't think the input from our borough is going to have any significance for the road. If they want to build a road, they're going to build a road. Personally, I've been somewhat against the road, although people have been talking to me about why maybe it should go through. But from a financially conservative standpoint, I don't see how you can justify the money. If the road came all the way and we didn't have to have the ferries in the Northern Lynn Canal, then maybe it would make some sort of fiscal sense. But to have roads and then still need the ferries doesn't make financial sense to me.
Thank you. Deb Shumway.
I agree with Jerry.
Thank you. Karen has the question, do you support or oppose extending the Juneau Road to Katsahin? And what effect do you think such a road might have on the Haines retail sector?
I do not support a road to Katsahin. I would rather see them develop a road on the west side. The east side doesn't make any sense to me. You're still dependent on a ferry. And Lynn Canal, as we know, can blow up so quickly that you can't even run a ferry. We found that out last week. What effect do I think it would have on our local businesses? I think it would actually help them because our freight costs would be lower. Cost to get goods here would be lower. Might lower prices here. I think it would be good for our community.
Thank you, Karen. Norm Smith, please.
And when Frank Wallace was the mayor of the city of Haines in the 80s, he said, I'm 57 years old, and if I live to be twice that, he says, you'll never see a road to Juneau. I'm 62 years old, and I believe you'll never see a road to Juneau. Right now, the estimated cost just to the Katsahin is about $500 million. So you know how many ferries we can build for that, even at $100 million apiece? And let's get real. What side of the avalanche do you want to be on when it comes down? I rest my case.
Thank you, Norman.
I'll agree with Norm, but since I would agree with Jerry. But no, I do not support the road being built, and I agree that avalanche danger and how much money has been spent on this planning process of trying to make that road to Juneau from Haines or Skagway is a travesty of our taxpayer dollars. If you really want to be against factions, that's insane.
Thank you, John Bauer.
All right, we'll start right back here at the beginning of Jerry Ernie on the next question. And since the season's approaching, I'm going to go there. How do you think the Haines Assembly should work with heli ski companies to manage the industry?
Well, I think that the heli skiing is a perfect example of the government interfering with free enterprise. I think they ought to take those GPS units and throw them right out the window. I think that is free country out there. And those heli skiing companies ought to be able to fly within the boundaries. And I've actually heli skied myself once. It was in way over my head, but it was an enjoyable day. And I really think the impact is really minuscule. And they ought to be able to get their permit and be done. We don't ask other companies to come to the assembly meeting to get their business permits.
Thank you, Jerry. And Deborah?
I support the Heliski Industries growth and establishment in the valley. I would like to see the borough play a very active part in identifying a publicly held, leasable place for logistics, for mobilization, that the public could own or manage the Heliski port. This idea of neighbors fighting each other, trying to find a place for helicopters to land, is a very divisive activity. So this is one area where I really believe the government can insert itself to help establish a resolution to the issue.
Thank you, Deborah. And Karen?
Could you read it again, please?
Sure. How should the Borough Assembly work with Heliski companies to manage the industry?
Well, I think you should always work with people in their industries, but I don't think you should stand in their way. I don't think you should hamstring them or hinder them in growth. The preamble to and Bill of Rights to our own charter says the right to enjoyment of private property, chosen lifestyles, traditions, employment, and recreational activities without unnecessarily restricting or arbitrary laws or regulations. I don't think we follow that very well, because it seems like we're constantly trying to regulate airspace. We can't do that.
Thank you, Karen. And you want to say?
Well, unfortunately, we have a heli skiing company that doesn't want to work with the borough, but they get awarded the business of the year by the Chamber of Commerce, and they get rewarded for violating borough code. So I have a real problem with people who violate the code. The code applies to everybody across the board, whether it be a bus tour, a tour, a riverboat tour, or what have you. There's state and federal and local regulations that are passed that need to be regulated and controlled. Without that control, it becomes a willy-nilly situation. It's a NIMBY issue, and I don't want them flying in my backyard.
Thank you, Norm. And John Brown.
I think we need to keep the committee work going. The planning committee, I guess, that we set up, they were meeting quite regularly last year, and it provided a great dialogue between not only the Heliski industry and the borough, it also provided the public a chance to talk and express their concerns. And, you know, one of the things I've heard is that the Heliski industry keeps wanting more and more land to go skiing on. Well, if the public's not for that, then who do you listen to, the Heliski industry or the public? I work for the public, and that's who you listen to.
Thank you. Jerry Lapp.
Yeah, I've always supported the heli industry, and I've seen it from when it was first started. And we do need to manage it, but we don't need to manage it to death. And I know a lot of folks don't like the helicopter. I think that's the biggest issue. But it's an industry that does such, it's got such a small carbon out there, and we get folks from all over the world to come here to enjoy the valley. And I think it's a good industry, but we do need to manage it, but not to death.
Great. Thank you, Jerry Lapp.
You're listening to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Kluckwan. This is a recording of the Haines Candidate Forum.
Next question, I think we're starting with Deborah Schnabel. That's why you always get this question. Should Joanne Waterman, Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman, and Assemblyman Damon Hoffman be recalled? Yes or no? And if your answer is yes, what to do with Jerry Lapp, who voted for the same question that the recall is being justified?
Well, thank goodness I don't have to answer the question, what shall we do with Jerry Lapp? I do not think that the recall is not adjudicated, it's not administered fairly, and even if it was, I think that, for me, I think that what happened on that night was a situation that happens not occasionally, but rarely, with people who are working together who feel very strongly and passionately. I think it was a very unfortunate night. I don't think anyone should get beat up over it. I think somebody should learn from it, though.
Thank you, Karen Hesman.
This is a personal and private issue with me. I've answered the newspaper the same way. I answered Heather Lindy when she called me, and I'm answering you the same way to the people. It's a private matter the way I vote. You might as well just ask me, am I going to vote for Deborah or Jerry Ernie.
Yeah, but I'm not asking to see your ballot, Ken.
You are asking me that. It's on the ballot. You're asking me if I support it or don't support it, which is asking me how I'm going to vote. I'm not going to answer how I'm going to, whether I support it or I don't. I will say one thing, though. I do believe that that night, there were some borough assembly members that were very disrespectful to the public that spoke in that meeting.
Okay, thank you, Ken.
Well, I wasn't there, but I heard all about it. I was the second one to apply for the appointment position to fill the seat vacated by Goodman. I think it's a travesty. I think the mayor should have pounded the gavel down and demanded that somebody or two people change their mind and fill the seat. We had 11 candidates. As far as Hoffman and Waterman being singled out, that's a travesty. I think that's just a total waste.
Thank you, Norman. John Brown.
Okay, I'm not a proponent of the recall petition, and I respect what the petition did, and it's got the signatures, and it's before the public, and the public will have their say now in the vote. What should happen with the next assembly or with the assembly tomorrow night or whatever is fix it. We have an ordinance or code that needs to be fixed so that this travesty or this kind of situation does not happen again in the future. It can be handled. Fix the problem. Go to the source of the problem. Fix the code and ordinance.
Thank you, John Brower. Jerry Lapp, please. Hey, Jerry. I'm sorry.
I guess my big issue with the recall is the item by which it was called upon, and after that vote, because if you read the code and you read the charter and you read the judge's order, you have three different directions. So I think there was a little bit of gray there. Of course, we were given opinions by lawyers or whatever. This trumps this. This trumps this. And my own personal feeling was that we had been wronged by a seat. And that seat should have been filled by the next person in line. And I think the judge let us know.
Thank you, Chair.
I support the recall. It's interesting that we can ignore the judge's orders. And I agree that our mayor probably should have dropped the gavel and said, we're sitting here until we do elect somebody to fill this position. To disobey the orders of a judge, it's a little rough for me. But in all honesty, the thing that really sealed it for me was the fact that Mr. Hoffman and Ms. Waterman could not make eye contact with anybody they were speaking to. And that room was packed, and they're gazing out the window and looking at notebooks, and what a shame to treat the public that way.
Okay, we'll start the next question with Sharon Hess, please. How should the borough handle the current state of its facilities, including deferred maintenance and fulfilling community needs?
They need to definitely get a good assessment of what facilities need what, and then they need to look at long-term for those facilities and whether or not those facilities that are, you know, are outlasting their lifetime. I believe that, believe it or not, the Chilkat Center is in question as to who it even belongs to. So I'm not even sure that the Chilkat Center is one that I think the Borough Assembly needs to look at that. Figure out how to fund the maintenance for the facilities we have.
Thank you, Karen. And Norm Smith.
Speaking of Chilkat Center, it's a little cool in here, isn't it?
I can shut the front door right now.
We have to have to prioritize what we have, and we have so many deferred maintenance issues. And we have to spend down the fund balance. We have money. We just don't spend it. We're waiting for a rainy day, and it seems like it's been raining for the last 5-6 years. And stuff goes slow when government is involved. And we have a study on the roof on this building. We have a study on the sewage treatment plant. And nothing's been done yet. It's just a continuous delay, delay, delay for some ungodknown reason.
Thank you, Norman. John Brower, what to do with borough facilities?
We need to take care of these facilities. These are our responsibilities, and they come with a cost called O&M, operations and maintenance. And this provides an opportunity to the borough, if it so chooses, if the community wants to go in that direction, to retrofit some of these public facilities with alternative energy needs. We can maybe get a demonstration grant to kind of take up some of these ideas. But if you know, again, it's another area you can have economic development with infrastructure, and the borough can help facilitate that, working with the private sector and community.
And John, Jerry?
Yeah, I think the borough's already started a fairly good program. They've gotten assessments on most of the buildings and what needs to be done, and they're prioritizing those. And we've got a really good facilities director now that has been going around. He's new now. We've got a new one, but he's been going around and seeing what needs to be done. And we have gotten some things done. Put a new boiler in on Mosquito Lake, which that needed. And I know they're working on other things. I think there was a new ramp put in here at the Chilcap Center here just within the last year or so. So it's been worked on.
Thanks, John. Jerry?
Jerry Ernie. I think the first thing we need to do is look within our budget. Last year we went outside our budget. Our city manager raised the mill rate, went into the tax reserves, and a few months later he got a $6,000 raise. In addition to that, I tried to find out how much money we didn't spend on snow removal, and I could never get a hard number. But certainly we didn't spend the amount of money on snow removal last year. So all these things add up to money. We need to evaluate the buildings and maintain what we've already committed to. We can't do that if we continue to live outside our budget.
Go ahead, Deborah.
This is one of the biggest issues that I think is going to hit us over the head in the next couple of years, because we're talking about some very obvious things, the PC dock, the LUTAC dock, but we have a sewer treatment plant, we have the shower rooms at the school, we have huge landfill issues, we have harbors, we have infrastructure all over the place that needs our attention. I think that the reason that we haven't been successful, I guess, or diligent, is that we are still new with the facilities department, and I'm in support of having that department. I'm also very much in support of integrating the Planning Commission into the overall budget planning for capital improvements. I really think that that's a good way to begin being consistent with our capital improvements budget and capital maintenance budget.
Okay, thanks.
Norm Smith, what is your estimation of the performance by borough administration and staff?
You mean you want me to percentage-wise or grade-wise?
Well, we have, any way you like. We have, how many public employees, what kind of job are they doing?
Well, I'd say they're right up there. I'd say they do a tremendous job. I can't say too much for management. But as far as borough public works, they got their hands full. They do the best they can with the job the tools they have. Administratively, they need help down there at the tax end. We need to retrain somebody to take those two ladies' place, because that's costing us a lot of money. I'm not saying they do a bad job, but the clerk still holds the whole place together. Without the clerk, we got a sinking ship.
All right. Thanks, Norm. John, I guess the question is twofold. It's your estimation of how the borough staff is doing, and you can elect to separate the staff from the management or answer that question any way you like.
I'll just put it all together. I think the borough staff, as far as I'm concerned, in talking to them or whenever I need service, they provide it. I get good answers. I'm amazed at Julie Cause of the work she does. I think she's does a fantastic job, but I think the rest of the borough staff are all right as well. I hear some complaints about management, though. I won't hide that, but I personally don't know if there's a problem there or not.
Thank you, John. Right, I'll check that.
Yeah, I think the borough's got an excellent borough staff. I know the clerk is probably one of the best in the country, and she does hold that office together down there. And there is, I believe, some problem with management right now, but I think that will be worked out. But as far as the rest of the staff goes, you've got some very good borough employees.
Thanks, Jerry Lapp. Jerry Yearnington.
I would agree. I think the staff at the borough does great work. Public Works is great. And in fact, I've made the comment to several people, I wish we could have given Julie Causey Mark Ernest's raise. And I do believe that.
All right. Thanks, Jerry Yearnington. Deborah Schnabel, please.
I worked in the borough administration, so I'll start with that. I think that we do, as a borough, need to be much more vigilant in our evaluation of all employees and hold employees accountable. I think we can improve in that. I also believe that there are, in this day and age, certain things that we can do to automate processes at the borough. I believe that we need to spend more of our human resource money in more intellectually demanding jobs that are part of planning, development, and budgeting, and that some of the more clerical and technical aspects of the public service sector can be automated and cost much less. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Karen Hess, please.
Well, I would say if I had to grade, I guess, our borough staff, employees, admin, I would probably give them about a C+. I think they do a pretty good job. I think if you graded everybody like Julie Causey, it'd be an A+. But Julie's a one-woman show. And I think we are lacking in some departments. Other departments, I think, are doing good. Therefore, I come up with a C+.
Thank you, Karen Hess.
All right, we'll start with John Brower on the next question. To you, what is the Haines issue that demands the most immediate attention that you would prioritize as an assembly member?
Well, again, I'm a planner and a manager, and I believe in sustainable community development. It's a concept that doesn't get much talk out there in a sense. Other communities, other administrators or whatever that I've talked to, sustainable community development, that's really where it is, and I think that's the thing that needs the most attention right now. And you fabricate the coming together of the community. And the community is a wonderful word.
Thank you, John. Jerry Lapp?
Okay, I'll read your question.
Sure. To you, what is the Haines issue that demands the most immediate attention you would prioritize if elected to another term?
The most immediate attention. I think it is drawing this community together. I think in different ways it's starting to become polarized again. I've seen it years ago and it's starting to happen again. And I just hate to see that in the community, because what that does, that tears the community apart and then you don't get things done. I mean, you see it on the assembly too. And I think it's just in a community that'll work together and work for the good of the community.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry Hearn.
You know, the true sense of community is how we all come together to help each other with our problems. And if we can learn to do that, we can sustain our community within itself. And I would like to see our community learn to do that, not just in a financial way, but in all other aspects of our lives as well. Because there are things that are going to change in our society over the next 10 or 20 years.
Thank you, Jerry. And Deborah, the issue that demands the most immediate attention.
I think the way that we organize ourselves. When I talk about government, I see two very distinct levels. Some of us talk about the government, meaning the bureaucracy that does our business on a day-to-day level. And the other government is all of us in making the policy decisions that then flow down to become work, to the product. I think that we need to pay attention to our organization and have much better decision-making processes and much stronger accountability and evaluation of our work.
Thank you, Deborah. Karen Hess.
Well, the one thing that needs immediate attention is going to be taken care of next week. That's an election that's going to get us with 6 members back on our assembly so we can get business done. Things have been stifled because of what happened, and it's unfortunate what happened, that they couldn't come to a decision. So I think the one thing that's looming over all of us is we need to get business back on track and get it done. One way to do that is to get 6 people back on the assembly. Hopefully we get a balanced assembly so that we can get business done.
Thank you, Karen. Norm Smith.
Well, keeping that thought in mind, what's going to happen if 2 of them get recalled? I'd like to see Second Avenue paved in front of the borough admin building, all the way from Haynes Highway straight up to Heister's Hardware. I'd like to see that road paved. Why that Mission Street road was paved going over toward the senior center, I don't know, because nobody drives down that little road. I can't figure that one out.
Thank you.
Jerry, the Downtown Revitalization Group has discussed seeking borough tax forgiveness on improvements such as was done, I guess, at Old Roads this year, for maybe given a couple years to make downtown look better. What is your opinion of that idea?
I believe that's a good idea. I think incentives for businesses to spruce themselves up is a very good idea, and I think it would help a lot. I think it'd go a long way and for businesses if they could get a little break, because a lot of our businesses are struggling right now, and I think any incentive that we can give them would be good for the community, because I think it'll pay off in the long run.
Great. Thank you, Chair. Chair Yanni, please.
I'm against giving incentives to the businesses. I think that if you want to run a legitimate business and you put your business out there in a professional and aesthetically pleasing manner, you will attract customers. So it's in your own best interest to maintain that business in a professional way.
Thank you, Jerry. Deborah?
I agree with Jerry. I will point out that interestingly enough, the discussion about whether or not the incentives should be offered has not been debated by the government. Yet every improvement that you have seen along Main Street took place without those incentives. So I think that there is there's just value in that. That people do recognize that is something they can do.
Thank you, Dara Shalom. Karen Hess?
Well, I'm not opposed to incentives for things, but I am opposed to that type of incentive. Because
forgiveness. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you do that for one business, and let's say someone, Mike Ward, who has several buildings and keeps them up and does everything, has a good running business, but all of a sudden, not that Mike would do this, but all of a sudden, because he can get a tax break, he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to let my business run down for a while so I can get a tax break. So I just don't think it's right to do that. Duck and I improved the car wash when we bought it. I didn't ask for a tax incentive or a tax break. We just bit the bullet and did it.
Thank you, Ken. No, I'm saying.
Well, I think most of those improvements are tax deductible to begin with, as far as the federal income tax goes.
Yeah, this would be a local property tax.
Pardon me?
This would be local property tax, so you wouldn't be assessed on your improvements over like the next 2 years or something like that.
Well, maybe we should give JJ's Pizza that incentive. I'd like to see that building moved out of there and have Nancy Coleman's move up to the street. But did we give Chilkoot Lumber a tax break? Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
Did we give Chittick Lumber a tax break? Yeah, I think we did. So it's something to consider. I'd be willing to discuss it.
Okay, John Brown, some question?
Yeah, well, this is where I think the community center can really help revitalize downtown. You put a new structure there that's a wellness center, an information center, like about the region, you know. And the main thing is that, you know, it could be a conference center. But that's going to help spur the growth and spur the people to visit downtown. And however that gets financed or wherever it goes, it's just going to help spur the downtown looking better. And it's up to the community how it all gets done and spent and how we fund it.
Great. Thanks, John.
And we'll start with Dear Ernie on the next question. How do you envision Haynes meeting its energy needs?
Well, I think that the only issue the borough has with Conway Lake is to make sure that AP&T gets the proper right-of-way to get up to that project, and it needs to go forward. It needs to go forward soon. It's only going to get more expensive. The sooner we do it, the faster we get hydropower.
Thank you. And Deborah Schnabel, please.
I don't have an easy answer to the energy needs. But I do think that the cost of energy is a very important issue that I think our government can be helpful in monitoring and participating in discussions. As far as our energy needs, I think we need to have it be less expensive. That's what I think we need.
Thank you, Deborah. And Karen, how do you envision Haines meeting its energy needs?
Well, I think we need to support AP&T and their hydro power at Conley Lake. I've read a lot of the what it would cost to repair the wires, the lines that go under the water from Skagway to here. That's extremely costly if we have any kind of a power repair that we need to do. So Conley Lake makes more sense. I also would like to see Walker Lake up the highway explored for hydropower for highway residents.
Thank you, Karen. And Mark Smith?
Well, having lived nearly 40 years here on the fort, I think wind generation for power is a good thing to do. Right here on the top of the Chilcat Center, I'm saddened that we didn't get the wind for schools program going over at the high school there. I think wind generation hasn't even been touched in this community. We can put wind generators out here at Battery Point and have prevailing north winds all year long. So that's one avenue we haven't pursued.
Great, thanks, Norm. And John Brower.
I support the continuation of the Energy Sustainability Commission, for one. For two, I totally support the Shuby Lake alternative for more hydro to the valley here. I think it's, as much as Conley Lake is looked at, it hurts me to just think how anyone even think about putting a dam there, because, you know, we have five species of salmon going up that river, and it's one of the world pristine areas, really. It's a special place, the Chilcoot, and we need to keep it that way. If we want to sustain a community, that's one way to do it.
Thank you, John. And Jerry?
Yeah, I guess I'm just the opposite. I've listened to the statistics and what it would cost if that cable broke. If that cable broke coming over here from Skagway, we'd have to go on diesel generation, and that would just about triple the electrical cost to run generators. We need a good, reliable, feasible hydro on this side of the canal feeding into the system, so we never have to go on diesel. We should never be on diesel to start with. We've got enough hydro power around here that we should have, and I think we should support AP&T.
Thank you.
I'm done.
I think we can go ahead and turn to the public to welcome questions from you guys. And if you come on up to the front to use the mic here, that'd be good. And go ahead and introduce yourself first before asking questions.
I'm Gary Hess. I'd like to ask each one of you folks up here in this wonderful office, if you get elected, would you put your own personal feelings aside to vote what would be better for the community versus what happened at our last debacle? And I'd like to have each one of you answer that truthfully. And then we could hold you accountable later on if you back out on it.
And I think we can start with Deborah on this one.
Can I put my own personal interests aside and vote to support the community?
What's best for the community?
What's best for the community? You know something? There are many, many times that I cannot draw a distinction between my own personal feelings and what is best for the community. I do not feel that there is a schism. There's not a lot of times when I can even identify that they're separate. So it's kind of a tough question for me.
Thank you, Deborah. Karen Hess.
I would have no problem putting my personal feelings aside for the betterment of the community. If there's an issue that comes up that everybody, the majority of the community says, and I don't mean 10 local people that come to the borough assembly meeting, I mean the majority, get a feeling of what the community actually wants, the majority of the community. I would not have any problem with putting my personal feelings aside and voting for the best of what's best for the community.
Thank you, Karen. Ron Smith?
I don't have a problem doing that, Gary. I just have a problem with code violations. And the problem is, in the borough, in the consolidated government, the code seems to apply at one time for this guy over here, but over here, when this guy wanted to do something, then the code doesn't apply to him. Classic example was the construction over there of the new assisted living. They didn't give Dinkers any credence whatsoever because they were complaining about the violation that the architect did. So it's code violations that I have a problem with, and applying them across the board to everybody and everything.
Thank you, Norm. John Brower?
It is the duty of elected leadership to listen to a well-informed citizenry, reason together to decide what is in the best interest of the common good. How do you do that? Well, you listen to the people. You reason together as an assembly, and then you make a decision that's in the best interest of the common good. That's how you do it.
Thank you, John. Gary Lapp?
Yeah, I have no problem with doing what's best for the community. And I think that's what I've always done on the assembly, is what's best for our community. And you, Deborah said it probably the best, when she said sometimes there's a distinction there that you don't know if you're, if it's your own feelings are put in the best interest. But I've always tried to live by what's in the best interest of this community, because I live here and I want what's best for this community.
Thank you. And Jerry Ernie?
You know, being selfish is unacceptable. When I got interviewed at the library, somebody talked to me about the possibility of the road coming up the west side, and the bridge being at the narrowest part on the river would be right around 8 Mile, which is only a mile from my home. And would I vote for the road in that case? And of course, I have to say yes. I mean, would I want the road dumping out right near my home? Absolutely not. For the good of the community, you've got to get rid of your personal convictions sometimes and just do the right thing.
Thank you. We can take another question from the public.
Carol? You said it first.
Thank you. I'm Carol Steinman. I live in Monday. Would you be willing to support or introduce one or more of these initiatives? Net metering in Haines?
What was it?
Net metering with APT Alaska. It's a national EPA initiative that is available in Alaska that has been declined by the local utility company. Net metering in Haines, a pilot public transportation system, an abandoned vehicle salvage and removal process, abandoned vehicle salvage and removal process.
I can only do three?
Yeah, well,
please give me a little more time to answer this one, too.
You can just think about it. Mandatory composting, mandatory recycling, and a ban on plastic bags. Thank you.
Okay. And that just starts with Karen.
Okay. Well, first of all, I believe the first part of our question was, would I be willing to... would I be willing to... Do what?
I thought we just raise our hands.
Yes.
Would I be willing to introduce an initiative?
Or support.
Or support. For one of these five things?
One or more, yeah.
One or more of these five things. First of all, I can just tell you right now, I'm not in favor of initiatives. I don't like initiatives because they're usually some personal agenda that someone has, and if they can convince enough people that it's a good thing, then they can throw it on the ballot and get everybody convinced, and pretty soon it's passed. And so I'm not in favor of initiatives. If I had to choose one, I'd probably take the abandoned vehicle one, because I don't like the abandoned vehicles in the Haines borough.
Thanks, Karen. Norm, net metering, public transportation.
Yes.
Mandatory composting.
Mandatory anything. I don't like that.
Okay, and a ban on plastic bags.
No, I might handle that.
Okay, John?
I think it should go to, something like that should be, again, community-driven. If you have enough voter or
community interest in doing some of these things, you bring it forward to the Assembly and maybe create a task force or something to kind of make some recommendations of how we can accomplish that as a part of that planning process that we would do, whether it's feasible or not, and things of that nature. But we have a planning commission and we have an energy sustainability committee, I hope, that could possibly address those things.
Thanks, John Brower. Jerry Lapp, net metering, pilot public transportation program, mandatory composting, a junk car lot, and a ban on plastic bags.
I think the junk car one's already being started on. At our last Assembly meeting, and there is steps taken to relieve that. Hopefully, it'll keep on going, because I know I've been pushing that. The net metering sounds okay to me. The other ones, I don't know if I can support so much. The composting, actually, when we moved into town, and there's a neighbor across the way from us that's got a compost pile, and on a windy day, you can really smell that. I don't really care for that.
I'm against anything that's mandatory. And the net metering thing sounds interesting, but a while back there were some questions posed to our electric company, and the question was, if we use less power, would our bills go down? And in fact, we said, no, if you use less power, we still need to maintain our employees, the price would go up in order to support the AP&T. So I don't know if net metering would really save anybody any money. So I'd have to be against that. I'm all for removing abandoned vehicles. I don't know if we need a special program to do that. And I think public transportation in Haines, in a sparsely populated area, sounds pretty expensive to me.
Okay, thanks, Jerry. Many. Deborah, there's net metering, a pilot public transportation system, mandatory composting. I think it was also mandatory recycling, wasn't it, Carol?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out.
Okay, these are just ideas, Carol. Well, and then plastic bag. A ban on plastic bags or development of a junk car.
I get the spirit of it. I get the spirit of it. And I agree that I am not going to sit here and say that there will be mandatory anything, because the enforcement of it is such a difficult thing to do. But do I support the concept? Do I support educational programs and encouragement and incentives and all the rest of that to do those things? Absolutely. I think they're fantastic. I would like to say that the borough does have already a coordinated transportation plan, which provides the community a process by which transportation issues can be addressed. And the borough is currently working with CIA to have a mobility management program, which is like the seed of a transportation program if we wanted to see the reduction in fuels and all the rest of that stuff. A ban on plastic bags in support of Mike Ward. I really applaud him for getting rid of plastic bags in the store. I just want to comment that I once read that it's a memory in the 60s or 70s. The huge flood in Bangladesh was because the systems got plugged with plastic bags. It's incredible.
Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome.
I was all for the abandoned vehicle.
Okay.
And I don't like initiatives.
Oh, that's right.
Do you have any other questions or hypothetical business ventures? Anybody wants to bring up?
I'm Gershon Cohen, and Karen, I've got to ask, given that you've made such a point about initiatives and, say, the recall effort that's going right now, that's an initiative process, so I'm just curious how you distinguish initiatives from democracy.
Initiatives is democracy. It's the democratic way. Of course, I just am not in favor of them. I don't like initiatives because they're usually just, as far as I'm concerned, someone's personal opinion that they would like to get the word spread. Your initiative was a perfect example. So initiatives are democracy. I'm not distinguishing between the two. I'm not saying they're not the democratic way. Of course they are. You're allowed to do them. I just don't like them. Thank you. Did I answer your question, Gershon?
Yeah, you sure did.
Thank you.
Joanne Ross Cunningham, for all of you. What in the past year or two have you participated in that has been a volunteer function for the community? And then secondly, if you were handing out or plotting some nonprofit within the community, something you'd like to see more of, what would that be? So your participation in a volunteer activity, and then secondly, what do you apply in the community?
And Lauren, we'll start with you.
Well, in the past year, I can say that I haven't really participated in any volunteer situation except volunteer at the radio station. As far as supporting a cause, I think the Head Start program needs more help. I wholly support the Head Start program. The Head Start program right now is full, and there's a waiting list, and we need to get those people out of that blankety-blank building over there. That thing is awful, that human resources building over there. We need to get them out.
Great, thank you. I'm John Brower.
Well, in the past year, that limits it a little bit, but anyway, I've done a lot of volunteer time over at the museum in time. I don't know if it's within the past year. I've done things with Friends of Recycling over the years, and you know, I did the garbage cleanup and things of that nature in the past year. As far as, are you saying what organizations I support or what? What's the question?
What effort or what nonprofit effort? Nonprofit or volunteer effort?
Well, I usually support like the Haynes Friends of Recycling, and I've supported the museum over the years. But anything that's educationally related, conservation of resources and environmental, I usually support that.
Thank you. And Jerry Lapp, what kind of volunteer work have you done in the past year, and what kind of volunteer or nonprofit efforts do you support?
Well, a lot of my volunteering work has been with Mahaney Valley Volunteer Fire Department, and I've been a member of that for 30 years. Well, I was, but now I'm not. But I've also volunteered for the school out there for different functions. And now that we're in town, I think maybe I can do more volunteering because it's really hard to live 33 miles south to come into everything that you'd like to come into. And for the nonprofit, I think Boy Scouts is one that I really endorse. I like to see the young kids get out and do something, activities and stuff like that. And that's just one that comes to my mind that I really endorse. Because when I was little too, I was a Boy Scout, and that's really, I enjoyed that.
Great, thanks. And Jerry Ernie?
Well, I think one of the most important things that I've been volunteering in a lot of ways. There's a young man sitting right back there named Marty Ford Fowler, and he's here because I'm his big brother, so it has motivated him to be here and participate in this event. I'm on the fair board, have been for 4 years. I volunteered at the Elks for 3 or 4 years. I volunteered the bike race, the Alcan 200. For years, I drove that dock cart back and forth from ship to bus. And every year, because I don't feel it belongs to me, I donate my PFD to a nonprofit organization.
Thank you. Deborah Schnabel.
Come in. The KHNS Talk Around Town production of the radio show every other week is probably the single most intensive volunteer effort that I do. I serve on HARC. This year I became a big sister for the first time. And the thing that I had most fun with this last year was volunteering with the Alaska Mountain Guides in their efforts to plan for the Boy Scout camp, the construction of, I think Roger Maynard, and there's other people locally also on the committee to develop the camp. I served on that. The organizations that I applaud, that I must confess that I do not participate in, that I hold the people in highest respect, and that's hospice. Haynes, it's a tremendous organization, and the other is the Ministerial Association, which right now is heavily overloaded with the food bank, and I think that's something that we need to always be mindful of.
Thank you, Deborah. Sharon Hess.
Oh, what volunteer effort have I been involved in? I am the race organizer for the Alcan 200, and that takes up a few months of my time in the winter. The race takes place in January, and prep for that usually starts now, which I just sent off the request for road closure today. So high gear will kick in for that here, and so I'll be quite involved with that. What programs do I applaud? Head Start, I agree with Norm. Head Start's very important. The facility is bad. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, I think, is a great program, and I applaud those who take their time to take the young ones out and do things with them.
Thank you. Actually, I think we had a question from a little girl.
And I was wondering, how many cruise ships do you think we should have? If you want more cruise ships, how many do you think we should have?
Go ahead and start with John Brower on this question.
Okay, well, the work that's being done with the community planning project, it sounds like the community survey says, they support like about 2.4. I don't know how you're going to get a 0.4, but two to three cruise ships a week. I think I support that because that's what the community's supporting right now, and I agree with that. I think that would be a good start to. Again, you got to watch the impact on the infrastructure. You know, we're not a Skagway, that's for sure. So, but two to three ships a week is fine.
Thank you, John. Very loud.
Yeah, I'd like to see at least two big ones a week and maybe two or three smaller ones for a week that makes a smaller impact, but it would still be good because they're the people who get off and spend the money here. So I'd kind of like to see it grow that way.
Thank you. Jerry Ernie?
I'd like to see three.
Jordan Sue? Beverage Novel.
I'd like to see us support the number that makes economic sense for a sustainable industry. And I think that the industry people that I have talked to have indicated that four ships is the amount that pencils out that allows the tour companies to provide viable employment for people. We can't offer employment where people come on Tuesday and then on Thursday and then Friday for half a day. You have to be able to provide people employment, and in order to do that, it has to be consistency. And I think that four pencils out, I have been told.
Thank you. Karen S.
That's pretty close.
Thank you.
You stole my answer, Deborah. Norm and I, I'm sorry, I need to take this opportunity for Norm and I to clarify. We were saying at start that we meant what that
preschool.
Preschool.
Sorry. So don't count that time.
Thank you. No problem.
I would like to see as many per week, cruise ships per week that it takes to give us a good, sustainable industry in the tourism industry here. So whatever that is, I'm guessing it's probably about four. Deborah's correct.
You could have just said I agree with you.
I could have. But that just isn't my style. As many as it takes to give us a good, sustainable economy in the tourism industry.
Thanks. And Norm Smith.
You know, we could wish for 100, but it isn't up to us. No. I was the West Tours manager in 1974, and we had 37 cruise ships that year. And when the Royal Viking Sky steamed out of the harbor here and they flushed their bilge, they coated the whole bay here with 1,500 gallons of bunker oil. There wasn't a sawmill guy or a Christian or a fisherman that wanted any more cruise ships. So, as far as the cruise ships go, it isn't our choice. But we've got an $8 million repair down here in this dock. I don't know how we're going to pay for that, since the cruise ship head tax doesn't exist anymore. We get $5, but not the money we were getting before. So, I'm out of time, but you know where I stand. Oh, one more thing. We put a cap on the number of cruise ships. There was an initiative passed to put a cap on cruise ships. I believe it was in 2000 or 99.
All right, thank you. Any other questions from the public?
Roger Maynard, and I just have a short question for each of the members. How many assembly meetings have you attended this year? And if you want to elaborate a little bit, how many committee meetings, borough functions have you participated in during the last last year, or during the this year.
Jerry's going to win on this one.
That's not fair.
I think they set up for success. I stand through all but one and committee meeting, I don't think I can count. I can't tell you how many of this time. I know it's a lot. But I can't remember all of them.
Okay. And Jerry Ernie?
I think I've been to between 5 and 10 borough assembly meetings. I'm not really sure of the number. And as far as borough functions, I don't know exactly what that means. If it's a the borough, you know, politically, then I'm going to say none. But there's lots of functions in the borough that I certainly participate in.
Thank you. Deborah Chandler.
I guess it's month 10 or so, so there's 20. We have 20 possibilities. I've probably been to 5 or 6, maybe more, but not certainly not 10. And I think I've only been to 1 or 2 committee meetings that were, I mean, committees of the assembly.
Okay.
That's just a guess, but I'm guessing I probably attended at least in the last year, Roger?
Was this year.
This year? So in the last 9 months, basically. I'm guessing I probably attended at least 10. And I have attended a few of the Tourism Advisory Board meetings, so probably about 3 or 4 of those.
Okay, thank you, Norm Smith.
I have to say, I don't believe I've attended any. I mean, I've taken a respite from the Borough Assembly meetings and meetings as a whole. After 6-7 years of service in the Borough Assembly, It was a nice break. I have to say that when one does attend a meeting, and either you're up front or you want to speak, the 3 minutes speaking period is just a formality if you've got a problem.
All right, John Brown.
I've attended no borough assembly meetings in the past year. The only public meetings I've attended as far as the borough goes is the housing meetings, the housing committee meetings, I think they were called. I must attend about 5 or 6 of those, I believe, something in that neighborhood last winter.
Thanks. Any other questions from the public?
I'm Steve Cunningham. I'm a little bit surprised that none of you considered running for office as public service or volunteer activity, but I consider it that, and I applaud you all for that. I've heard a lot of figures about the dock and the need for repairs, and I've heard a couple of people mention that we get $5 a head per tourist that docks. Can the dock be self-supporting with those numbers? Or is it something that we're always going to have to carry and just hope that we generate revenue elsewhere in the community to make the dock work?
Thanks. We'll start with Jerry Ernie.
I can't answer the question about whether or not the dock can sustain itself. I think if it's a $9 million repair and we're getting $5 a head off of cruise ship passengers, I'm going to say obviously it can't be. And if it's important enough to our community to maintain that dock, you know, whether it's, you know, we discussed this on Friday, you know, bond issues are a possibility with the assistance of outside money. But I don't envision that dock ever being able to be self-sustaining.
Thanks, Deborah Schnabel.
I don't believe that it can be self-sustaining, but I think that it can be a supportive piece of infrastructure that generates income to the community in the sales tax as it generates through visitation, and also with the ships, what do they call it when they tie up?
Moorage,
thank you. But I don't believe it can be self-sustaining, as Jerry says, at $9 million.
Thanks, Karen.
Well, according to the letter that was sent out by Commissioner Susan Bell says, talking about the revenue sharing or the when they reduce the head tax from 46 down to 34.50, she says, well, this new provision takes two additional communities eligible, meaning they increased it to the first seven communities that a ship visits. Keep in mind the vast majority of Alaska cruises include only three ports of call, thus there should be a sufficient tax proceeds in the CPB account to make all community payments and ensure funds remain available for legislative appropriation. We can still go and get money from that tax that's sitting there. And yes, if we bring more ships into port, we get more money. Thank you, Gershon. We get more money for the people who are on those cruise ships, $5 per person. You just bring more ships in. It's pretty simple.
Thank you. Norm Smith.
We just got $1.5 million from the legislature to pay off the bond that we bonded ourselves in 1995 for $2.5 million, which we've been paying on about $137,000 a year since 95. And if it wasn't for the legislative grant of the $1.5 million, we'd still be paying that $137,000. It's going to take a lot of people and a lot of cruise ships to pay off a bond for $8 million or $9 million. I don't think that the people in the valley want to do that. I really don't think that's going to happen. And at $5 a head, we know it's not going to happen. So that's the short answer.
Thanks. John Brown?
I'll give a short answer. I don't know the facts of the matter and the budget, so I would have to just, I'd rather not comment on something I'm not fully aware of by, you know, facts. So I'll defer it at some other time.
Well, I believe that the more ships you bring in, the better chance you have of making it pay for itself. And it was put in an enterprise fund this last year, and that's kind of a test, and I think that'll show if it can sustain itself or not, how much more it's going to need. But we do need more cruise ships, and $2.3 million of that we've already got to do the second stage of that dock, which is the trestle going out. And for the second portion, I think they were $1.4 million short for doing the platform out there. So that money will have to come from someplace. And that could go to a bond if they decide.
Okay, thanks. If that's it for public questions, move on to the talent show portion. That's it, right? No more questions? Okay. Just kidding. I wanted to give you guys a minute to give a wrap-up remark, whatever you wanted to communicate to people here or anyone who's going to listen to this on the radio or see it on TV. And
or to address any issue that we haven't tonight.
Exactly. And then we'll start with Deborah Schnabel on this one.
Yeah.
One more rotation.
I didn't prepare a wrap-up statement, but I do want to say that the campaign season that I have participated in has been a real, from time to time, energizing experience. I really think that there's a lot more in common that people in the community have than they do have differences. I think that the issues that we have before us are very clear. I think there is a will to resolve many of our problems. I think that what we need to focus on is the process and increasing our skills in working together and finding resolution to many of our issues. I find that energizing.
Thank you. Karen Hess, your closing remarks.
Well, I just want everybody to know that I'm a really hard-working woman. I'm responsible, I'm reliable. I believe in life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I want what's best for Haines, which means we need to bring in more businesses and find some year-round employment so we can get families to move here, put their children in our school system, contribute to our community in a meaningful way, which will benefit all of us. I've got to know the rest of a prepared statement here, but I'm going to use this opportunity to address one thing that was not addressed. We talked about the dedicated 1% tour tax, tourism tax. I would like to talk about the 1% undedicated bed tax. I have never felt that the bed tax was fair to extract from an industry and put it into the general fund. I believe that 1% bed tax, of which is about, I think FY11 is... 4%. The 4% bed tax, which for FY11 is, I believe, $74,000, should be put towards bringing conventions or even special events to put people in beds.
Thank you. Maura Smith.
I couldn't agree with you more, Karen. I've been pounding on the table about that for years. It gets thrown into the general fund to be spent on police cars. I just want to say this about Connolly Lake. Right now in the state of Washington, there's a river called the Elwha River. This was on the news in the state of Washington just the other day. This is near Port Angeles, Washington. They're right now spending $325 million to remove two dams on the Elwha River, which supplies electricity to the city of Port Angeles. These dams have been there for 100 years. The purpose of taking away the dams on the Elwha River is to revitalize the return of the five species of salmon that used to run there 100 years ago. Well, now, let's think about this Connolly Lake a little bit. That's the only comment.
Thanks, Bob. John Brower.
All right, just in wrapping up, you know, I moved here in 1995 with my wife, Catherine Cradle, and we chose to live here. It was, you know, we didn't have jobs when we moved here. This is where we wanted to settle, raise our kids, Jeremiah and Hannah, and we've done so. We've been a part of this community for that long a period of time. And in that time, I've gathered a lot more experience from my planning background and my management background, and that can only help me as an assembly person to work with an informed public. You know, I've been involved with a number of projects that have put people to work, created jobs, sustained the community economically, socially, culturally, and environmentally. And I truly believe a healthy and educated community is an extremely important element to a vibrant, sustainable community. And that's what we need to do here. We need anything we can do to help educate, inform, work together. We have a lot more in common than we don't have in common.
Thanks. Sherry Lapp, closing remarks.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that on my years on the assembly, I've enjoyed the work. I've always fought for our community, and I fought to keep our taxes down and to keep a budget to try to keep from spending, you know, all the time. I have some of the folks that think like me don't aren't in the majority. So, you know, you can't win every ballot. You can always go on to another day. But I've always fought for that. I've always fought for what's best for the community. And I've always, I guess, some decisions you're going to make are wrong and some are right. And I learned that as a mayor. One day, everybody would say, wow, you really did a good job. And the next day, they'd say, what is that dirty wrong doing? So there's one thing that I kind of wrote down that I thought, this is what I believe in. And I believe in the right of the citizens to challenge the government officials when questionable decisions are made. And our citizens are our bosses, and they have every right to question our decisions because you are our boss.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry Ray.
Yeah, I just like to, I hope everyone in our community realizes that in a sparsely populated community, you don't get all the conveniences that you have in a densely populated community. It's just that simple. Some of the numbers just don't add up. Our comprehensive plan that was written in 2004 makes a statement about the demographics, and they talk about retirement, and I'm just going to quote it. It says, a retirement population brings experience and expertise and a demand and market for education, services, and amenities that add to the quality of life for all. Well, I'll tell you, you don't survive 30 years of police work without being thoughtful, dedicated, and politically savvy. I'm retired. I'm energetic. I'm here to serve. Whether I get elected or not, I will continue to serve this community. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And I sincerely thank all the candidates for being here and being part of this tonight. I think it's a really powerful thing to have everyone here together talking about stuff, and to the public for being here and asking questions.
I'd like to say thank you to you guys for hosting this. It's important that you do this. And thank you to the public who have attended.
You've been listening to a recording of the Haines Candidate Forum, including candidates for Haines Mayor and Haines Assembly, taped Monday night in front of a live audience. You can also find the recorded forum at khns.org under local news. Municipal voting day is October 4th. You're listening to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. This is a recording of the Haines Candidate Forum.